new Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lowry, Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed Wheeze Whirlpool. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
Leave us get on with the laughs. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Ready.
Uh-huh.
And you going to stop yawning, Senator? All right. Here we go. First joke of the evening comes from C. Hayden Tracy of Schenectady, New York, and it's on the subject of something that sounds good, but I don't know how you do it. Economy. Economy. So, Pete, don't be too economical with this one.
Well, it's about a little Irishman named Pat, and he was the dog catcher in a certain town, and the dog pound was overcrowded. Every day he was picking up more mutts, and finally, he was getting pretty sick of taking care of them, so he got an idea, and he went to the mayor, walked in the office.
He said, Your Honor, I'd like a word with you. You see, he said, I'm unveiling the dog catcher, and I've never seen so many stray canine beasts in all my life. Now, he says, we're getting very chaotic down in the dog pound. Oh, we're overcrowded with St. Bernards and Great Danes and Spitzes and Mexican Chihuahuas and everything down there. He says, we've got cockers and mutts alive. Oh, you can't stand it down there. Now, he says, it's very costly for the city to take care of all them animals. Now, it's very costly. And I think we ought to start a little campaign. There must be a lot of people in the town who would love to have a little dog as a pet. So why don't we tell them they can come down to the pound and pick out a little dog? A little pet dog to fondle, to take out for a walk, let him play an occasional game of hide and seek out there. So the mayor decided this was a swell idea because election was coming up and this would be an economical measure. So they start the campaign. And they got slogans and banners and pictures in all the windows and the dogs are being interviewed and they're making guest shots on the radio. Got dogs on John's Other Wolf and all the programs. Even Winchell took a couple of peeks, too, and everything. It's all busy with the dogs. And it does great. Everybody's going to get a dog. All the kids go to get dogs, and it's great. And the mayor's tickled to death. And finally comes the end of the campaign, and he goes down to see Mulvaney, the dog catcher. He says, Mulvaney, he says, I got to hand it to you. You're a genius. He says, did you finally get rid of all those stray dogs? Mulvaney said, No, Your Honor, that's just the trouble. You see, there's been such a terrific demand. In order to fill all the requests, I had to hire 6 extra dog catchers.
$1,000 on the lap meter.
Making it an automatic $25
worth. Enough stuff in there for 9 ones.
Well, as a matter of fact, he got about that many too, Senator, en route. But Mr. Tracy now has that $25 safely tucked away, and you three fellas are really up against the wall, but you can at least tie. Let's see how close you come anyway. And I think Joe Lowry Jr. had his hand up first.
Well, a mother was visiting her married daughter, and she's looking around the house and everything. She says, Daughter, you ought to be more economical. You're spending a lot of money. She says, Oh, Mother, I am economical. I have to be. She says, Well, how do you pay your bills? And everything? She says, I pay by check. Pay by check. You see, my husband and me, we have a joint bank account. She says, What do you mean, a joint bank account? She says, Every time I cash a check, he breaks one of my joints.
$1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Mr. Tracy's $1,000, but not copying it. And now let's see what's going to emanate from Harry Hirschfield.
This story is supposed to be true. I doubt it, but it's worth telling just the same. A wife heard that her husband, after they've been married all these years, heard that her husband, instead of going away on business for the weekend, as he claimed, was really in love with a farmer's daughter and was going up to a certain farm. As she heard about it, she was moaning about it. She says, Can you imagine this? He goes up, tells me he's going on business for the weekend. He's been going up every weekend up on that farm with a farmer's daughter's in love. It's bad enough that he's in love with a farmer's daughter, but I'm his wife. You'd think when he came back on Monday, he would bring me some butter and eggs.
Well, Harry, along with the butter and eggs, You brought home the bacon that time. That was
1,000 on the last meat award.
Anyway, now the only one of our three wits missing is Senator Ford with a perfect round going.
I'll
Senator.
Be missing after I finish the gag, too. I think. Up in my hometown, there's a fellow who's, you might say, economical. You know, he's kind of stingy. He's a quartermaster. He's always looking after his 25-cent pieces. Well, he has a son who takes after him a bit, and one time he was taking his little sweetheart to a county fair, and they drove past the popcorn stand, and the girl's trying to talk him into buying some popcorn. Said, "Oh, ain't that swell? Ain't that nice?" "That ain't what nice?" She said, "Oh, that popcorn, doesn't it smell wonderful? It smells delicious. Doesn't it smell good?" He said, "It certainly does smell good. I'll drive a little closer so you can get a better smell."
$1,000 on the lap meter.
They flicked up their 9:15.
Someday I'm going to go in for dialect.
Well, as I gaze upon those figures, I see that we had a perfect round that time. Each of our three wits getting 1,000 to tie Mr. Tracy's 1,000, but none topping him, needless to say. Well, let's continue our contest of wit and humor now. Here's a joke which was sent in by Nora B. Lineberg of San Fernando, California, and it's on the subject of questions. Questions. So, Pete, I have none. Let's see if you do.
Well, it seems as a car in traffic is doing about 10 miles an hour, blocking up the whole road. So finally, a cop went over to the driver.
He said, "Listen, buddy, I'd like to ask you a few questions." Now, he says, "Usually, I have trouble with guys going too fast. I got to chase guys for speeding. What's the idea you going along here on a good road? You're going 10 miles an hour. You're stopping all the traffic. What's wrong with you?"
So the little guy behind the wheel, he says, "Well, officer, it's,
he says, I got a problem, you see. My exasperator wasn't working."
He said, "Your exasperator? You mean your accelerator?"
He says, no, the accelerator is in the front seat, but the exasperator is in the back seat, and she didn't tell me what to do.
Pete was pointing to emphasize the joke and then started to follow his finger for the laugh that wasn't there.
Only 200 registered on the laugh meter that time, Ward.
So, Miss Lineberg starts out with a nifty $10, and our three wits have a breathing spell for the first time this evening, and I think Senator Ford wants to be the first one to step in.
Yeah, I'll go in first when Pete gets 250. Well, Screwball Jake is he's not as stupid as a lot of people think. He's really brilliant in a moronic sort of way. One time he wanted to get on the jury up in my hometown, but they didn't believe him. They didn't think he had all his buttons. So they asked the psychiatrist to examine him. So the psychiatrist said to him, "Now, what's the difference between a little boy and a dwarf?" Well, Jake thought a little while, and he says, "There could be a lot of difference." The doctor said, "How?" He said, "The dwarf could be a little girl."
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
With slightly tops,
Mr. Newey. I never heard that.
Stick around, Harry. We learn every night. Well, let's see. As long as your hand's raised, Brother Hirschfield, suppose you can.
Well, a lot of questions, George. I want to throw one in first. They said, "How can you stop an Englishman from laughing in church on Sunday?" It says, "Don't tell him a joke on Saturday." Well, I think this is a Newey. This is a goof story. There's a doctor, had to leave his office for a few hours, so he says to a goof who was living next door, "You just tend to my office. If anybody comes in, just ask them a few questions, you know, so I'll know what it is. But if it looks like it's an emergency, if something happens, in that case, you'd call me up. I'll leave the number. Just ask them the name and address and try to calm them, you know, when they come in." So in runs a goof, another big with a big cigar, and he's chewing the cigar and he's got a little baby in his arm. He rushes in, says, "The doctor here?" Says, "No, the doctor won't wait." Says, "When'll the doctor be back?" Says, "I don't know, a couple of hours." So, "What's your name?" So he told him, he said, "Your address." So, "What's the matter, emergency?" He says, "My baby swallowed my box of matches." Says, "That's too bad. In the meantime, do you want to use my lighter?"
1,000 on the laugh meter. The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Making the second time that Miss Lineberg's 250 has been topped. She still has her $10, and Joe, it's up to you to have pity.
Yeah, well, they're all telling goof stories. I may as well tell one. I heard one the other day. I think it's the goofiest thing I've heard in a long time. It's about this fella meets a kid, and he says, "What's your name, son?"
He says, "Jersey City."
He says, "I say, what's your name?"
He says, "Jersey City. That's my name, Jersey City."
He says, "That's your name, Jersey City." Yeah. He said, "I guess the name's Jersey City. You were born in Jersey City, the name's Jersey City."
He says, "No, no, I was born in Newark."
He says, "You were born in Newark and they call you Jersey City? Why didn't they name you Newark?"
He says, "Oh, what kind of a name would that be for a boy?"
$1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Senator, do you have another one you want to
try? Since Pete told one about an auto, there's another question gag goes in there about autos, too. It fits both subjects, as a matter of fact. Well, little Oscar Fotzengoggle said to his mother, he said, "Mama, what happens to all the old automobiles when they don't run no more?" She said, "Somebody sells them to your father."
Well, you wouldn't have gone wrong using that one in the first place, Senator. Any of you other two fellas want to whip in any more here?
Well, I heard a crazy little one the other day. A teacher wrote the word annually on the board. Says, do you know what that word is? Says, annually. Yeah, annually. Says, you know what it means? Says, that's a man's name. You hear it all over, annually. Says, a man's name? Yes. You always hear it semi-annually.
Well, Joe, they're both one up on you.
You know, the kid asks his father, he's reading a book, and he says, to turn to his father, he says, "Papa, is it true that a woman's mouth is like a rosebud?" The old man looks at his wife and he says, "Yeah, a woman's mouth before she marries is like a rosebud, and after she gets married, it starts opening up."
I could even throw in another one.
All right, before I even announce the rest of the award or reward, what do you have?
Oh, I don't care, Ward, reward, or Ward Wilson, or anything. I don't care. I just throw it in any place.
Go ahead, Todd.
Well, all right, I'll Todd. This is about a dopey dame. She was at one of those school proms, and a fella came over to her and said, "Haven't I seen your face somewhere else?" She said, "No, it's always been between the ears."
Major starting something here, Senator. Now Harry Hirschfield wants to get
in. I got a short one. The teacher says to the boy, "Do you know what a meteorologist is?" He says, "Yes. That's a fella who looks in a girl's eyes to see weather."
One more chance, Joe.
I run to him quick. He says, "Quick, quick, call me a doctor. Call me a doctor." "Call you a doctor? Why?" He says, "I just graduated."
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor. Get on to another joke now, and this one was sent in by Mrs. Ray Cloud of Wichita, Kansas. And it's on the subject of something I know none of you three are familiar with. However, you can have a go at it anyway. Show-off. Show-off. So, Peter Donald, suppose you do just that.
It seems that Mrs. Abercrombie Fofofnik ran into her best friend, Turalura Goldfarb, on the street. And she said, "Oh, Turalura," she said, "Wait up, darling, I want to make a little chitter-chatter with you." So Turalura says, "Hello, Daphne, darling." She says, "Shabbat's cooking." She says, You didn't hide? Well, over the weekend, I was visiting by my wealthy Uncle Schleimer's hacienda. She says, "You know, my Uncle Schleimer, that's the fella, he made a fortune, you know. He's manufacturing talcum powder with garlic so you can find a baby in the dark." So she said, "Was this a swanky party? Ooh, was this swanky?" We got engraved invitations, you know, with the RSVP. That means really stinking with politeness. And, oh, it was beautiful. We had a swanky supper. The main course was that swanky. Mr. Turlour says, what was so spanky for the main course? You had pheasant.
Since pheasant, no, darling. We had a broiled octopus. That's so everybody gets a drumstick. She says, with also a bottle of champagne that's sort of a 7-Up with jet propulsion. It was beautiful. So Turlour is impressed. She says, my, my, you certainly got a classy uncle. She says, darling, you don't know the half. She says, my Uncle Schleim, you're so spanky, has got three swimming pools. Three swimming. He's got one with cold water, one with hot water, one with no water. Turlour says, one with cold, one with hot, one with no water. What's the idea? Well, she says, some of his friends like to swim in the hot water. Some like to swim the cold water. The pool with no water, that's for people who just can't swim. That's...
Well, you came out of that with a master stroke, Pete.
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Automatically sending Mrs. Cloud $25, and once again, challenging the keenest efforts of our three wits, but they're all ready to go in there and plunge anyway. Not in the pool, I hope. But, Harry, I think you were first.
You think just when all the golf stories there have been exhausted, I heard a new one today at that. This fella, Pink, has never played golf, but he made a lot of money. And he wanted to join a golf club and play golf. So he joined the most expensive golf club. He got the most expensive golf club. He got the most expensive uniform. Never played before, and when he got on the green for the first time, he put down the ball, and he gave it a swing, and it went out, and the fella hollered, wait a minute, you made a hole in one. The ball went in the hole. He said, what's the hollering? I'll buy another ball.
$1,000 on the laugh meter. It is. Very good joke, too, incidentally. That ties Mrs. Cloud's $1,000, but doesn't top her. So let's move over now to see what Senator Ford has to offer.
Well, you know, there's nothing quite as devastating as a woman's sarcastic cracks when she wants to make one, especially when it's to another woman. Well, these two women met, and they didn't like each other very much, and one of them started to show off, and she said, you know, darling, I was in the beauty parlor for 4 hours this afternoon. The other one says, too bad you weren't waited on.
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
And, let's see, the only blank I have is under the name of Joe Laurie Jr.
Still a blank.
This old patriarch always would show off. He had a long white beard, and he'd show off that he knew everything. You couldn't tell him anything. They'd sit around the family circle. He was the grandfather, you know. And they'd say, Grandpa, did you hear about Truman? He's going to Brazil. He says, I heard. I knew it. I know 2 weeks ago. I says, what did you know 2 weeks ago? He says, I did, doctor. I read the papers. I know what's going on. He says, did you know Gromyko vetoed? I know. I didn't even finish it. How do you know? I know when he's going to veto, when he isn't going to veto. Everything you tell him, he'd know it. He'd know it. Always showing off. So finally, his grandson takes him to the theater, and they come home, and his kid comes in. He says, Mama, Mama, they surprised Grandpa tonight. He didn't know that. He says, look, what happened? He says, there was a magician at the theater, and they got Grandpa up on a stage, and the magician took 2 rabbits out of his beard. So she says, did you know that? He says, well, I've been suspecting for 2 weeks they were in there already.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
However, all of your efforts were in vain as far as affecting Mrs. Cloud's finances were concerned, so we're happy to tell her that inasmuch as we had a perfect round, she is now the possessor of $25 with a...
More fun, more jokes, coming up in a minute after this word from our sponsor.
One quick joke, if any of you has one, right on the button.
Well,
there you go, sir.
I'm just going to say something of, a good subject right now is a high cost of living. Nowadays, you go in to buy olives, and they give you pumped-up peas. You know, I wanted to finish a joke there that I've been trying to tell for years.
Go right ahead.
Screwball Jake was talking to Tootsie Baumwattle, and Jake said, you know, I don't believe in that vaccination business at all. They vaccinated me little son Xerxes, and 2 weeks later, he fell out of a window and busted his arm. He said it was the arm that was vaccinated, too.
And we'll see what Joe Laurie can do about it.
I have a preface. This doesn't count. It's about an old lady that fell down the stairs and broke a leg, and the doctor came to fix it, and he put it in a cast and all. He says, now, you can't walk stairs. Don't walk up or down stairs. She says, all right. So he came back every couple of days, and the leg didn't seem to mend at all. Didn't seem to get cured at all. After 6-7 months, finally he says, well, you're all right now. It took a long time, but you're all right. She says, well, can I climb stairs now? He says, yes, you can. She says, oh, I'm so glad, because it was so tough on me climbing up and down that drain pipe all the time. But the one I want to tell, the one I want to tell is very short. A goof gets to a drugstore, and he says, hey, he says, give me 10 cents worth of insect powder and an aspirin. He says, 10 cents worth of insect powder and an aspirin? What's the matter with you? He says, I got a lousy headache.
Yes. You know what I thought was good? Joe's imitation of an old lady.
You don't have to give an imitation.
Gee, am I glad I'm not in this.
Next week, join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford. Same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Edward Hastings, Ford.
Harry Hirschfield, Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald. Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.